Well, all right. Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. All right. All right. Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. Here we go. I'm back again. Acts surprised when I come in.
Good evening and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Neil Coulong, the managing editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. I am with Lance Williams, the head guy, head honcho, moderator of Steel Curtain Radio. We are, the standard is the standard. We are recording this on Thursday night prior to the Steelers Week 4 game against the Minnesota Vikings at Wembley Stadium in London. Lance, it's been an interesting week, to say the least, in Steeler Nation. A couple of things that we're going to touch on here. Le'Veon Bell versus Ben Roethlisberger, as far as who is talking about what, who is leading, who is not, who is working hard during rehab and practice, and who isn't. We're also probably going to dig into a little bit of a primer of the Minnesota Vikings heading into this game. We might touch a little bit on the Chicago Bears and the Steelers' 40-24 loss in week 3, putting them to 0-3 on the season. Hey, Lance, did you know the Steelers are 0-3?
I was quite aware of that. I've been made quite aware of that.
Is that from thousands of people contacting you and complaining about it? Because I hear that a lot. I don't know about you.
Yes, and every fan that I've been arrogant Steeler fan with is reminding me as well.
You know, that's kind of how it works, isn't it? I mean, it's like the Schwartz. There's an upside and there's a downside to being a fan of any team. Some teams get the upside more often than the downside, but you what I hear more than anybody else is if I'm, you know, venting, raging about the current state of the Steelers, yeah, big deal. How many Super Bowls have you seen them win? You've seen more Super Bowls lost than I've seen my team get to a Super Bowl. That's not even the point, though, is it? I mean, you know, Bill Simmons, the editor and founder of Grantland.com and former ESPN columnist, he had a feature several years back on what point you could complain about your team again after they won a championship. And I think he had said something to the effect of 3 years. Now, it's been a lot longer than 3 years, it feels like to me, since the Steelers had won a Super Bowl. It's, you know, coming up on 3 years since they've been to a Super Bowl. So maybe we don't get the luxury of complaining right now.
Well, look, I mean, if you buy a ticket, you watch the games, you consume the NFL in some form or fashion, you could complain even if it doesn't make sense to complain. I mean, that's just the nature of it. It comes with the territory. You know, we're fans. You know, short for fanatic. So, I mean, you know, if you have a one-game losing streak for most Steeler fans, that's too much. Because, you know, Steeler fans wake up, roll out of bed thinking that the Steelers are going to win a Super Bowl every year. So, just complain to your heart's content. Just don't worry. Be happy. Just be happy.
Are you saying the Steelers aren't going to win the Super Bowl this year, Lance? Are you going on the record as saying that right now?
I'm saying they may not win Sunday, let alone the Super Bowl. Baby steps. You have to, what is it? I'm going to try to go cliche. What is it? You have to crawl before you walk? Is that, or walk before you run?
Before you fly or something like that. I don't know.
Something?
I remember that from Coming to America.
Sexual Chocolate. That was also a Coming to America. Coming to America. Chocolate.
Absolute greatest comedy of all time. That movie is so funny. There's this girl that I work with. She's 21, 22, I think, or something like that. She had never seen Coming to America. I basically sent her home early, told her to go red box it if they even have that in a red box. Find some kind of way that you can get a movie now and watch it, and then come back to work tomorrow and tell me about it. She never actually did, so I'm going to write her up, I think.
Oh, wow. You got to take the hit for that. And that kind of, that's a perfect segue into responsibility and leadership and work ethic and all of that stuff. And what's your thought, Neil, about the whole Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell trust, if he was like Heath Hole, little dust up that kind of was brought to light earlier this week?
Here's my thing on it. If you break down what Roethlisberger said, and let's set the stage here first, I guess. Ben Roethlisberger was on the Ben Roethlisberger show, meaning he was fully aware he was in a radio studio, the mics were hot, and he was being asked live questions for an active audience to listen to. He was in no way, shape, or form taken out of context. It was not misunderstood. What he said flat out was, I'm not sure about him. Some days he's practicing, some days he's not. I really wish he went and worked his butt off the way Heath Miller does. Now, he comes out later and says, basically kind of a cop-out, something to the effect, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but something to the effect of, well, you know what, that's more of a compliment for Heath Miller. Hey, I'm not really buying that. It is, but it isn't. The message is clearly directed at Le'Veon Bell. And you know what? I'm perfectly fine with that. I don't know what Le'Veon Bell has done to earn any kind of respect, certainly when it comes to the purvey of the two-time Super Bowl champion quarterback who's the captain of the team. If the captain of the team is wondering why it is you're working all that hard, I don't think it's at all a coincidence either that all of a sudden the younger players can't play pool in the clubhouse anymore. I can't say that is not a move that's directly challenging the character and the strength of the rookie running back who, frankly, needs to get his bleep together in order to help this team run the ball successfully so they can actually win a game. What part of that is a problem?
Let me read the quote. And he said, honestly, I have no idea with him. You can't get a read on him. One day he's practicing, one day he's not. One day he's going hard, the next day he's not. I wish I could, if he was a guy like Heath Miller that you knew was busting his butt every day to get back there. Le'Veon is a rookie. I don't know him quite well enough, but if he can come back and help us, we'll take him. Here's the only thing, my only issue with it. Loose lips sink ships. There are some things I've always felt that should be kept in-house. I don't mind the statement. I don't mind what he said. I don't mind that Ben is challenging Le'Veon Bell. I hope that he challenged Le'Veon Bell in the facility as well, not just on radio. That's my only issue. You know, if he's going to address Le'Veon and deal with it in-house, as well as say it on the radio, fine. But if he's going to just do it on the radio in sort of a kind of passive-aggressive approach, then I think, again, it falls under loose lips sink ships. But I don't even know why a rookie that has no carries warrants any statement at all, period. You know, back in the day, you know, you'd have veterans say, who? Who are you talking about? Who? Who is that? Has he played?
Playoffs.
Let's not even worry about that guy. So, hopefully, the ship can be righted, another cliche. And hopefully the Steelers can focus about trying to get a win. Because can you imagine how bad it will be in Steeler Nation and in Pittsburgh and all over the country if the Steelers go into the bye 0-4? Wow.
Two things on that. One, left guard Alan Faneca, captain of the team back in 2004, was asked, are you okay with a rookie being back there? And he said no. People didn't question Alan Faneca's leadership. They questioned whether Roethlisberger could earn his trust and his respect. I don't understand why that comparison is being avoided. It's plain and obvious. To me, it seems exactly like what Roethlisberger, now that he's a veteran, wants to put on to a rookie because Roethlisberger knows that's what got him going. That's what got him motivated. I haven't spoken to Ben Roethlisberger, so I don't know if that is exactly what his intention was. It just seems obvious that it's something like that. Why else, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, of anybody, he's the cliche machine. It's not often when he says something particularly revealing, unless it's about him or an injury that he has, in which case he plays cat and mouse with the media. In this particular instance, though, he's saying it directly to get inside the head of Le'Veon Bell to tell him, you need to get to work, okay? Regardless of his rehab, regardless of anything else, this is practice. Mike Tomlin takes practice seriously. If you don't practice, especially if you're a rookie, you don't play. We need you to play. Get out in the field and practice. None of this, you know, half-ass kind of stuff anymore. Get out there and practice. If you can play, great. We'd love to have you. If you can't, next man up. That's all he's saying, in my opinion. One of us, at least, is going to breathe a little bit. We're gonna come back, and we're going to talk a little Minnesota Vikings for you here on The Standard is the Standard. Back here on The Standard is the Standard. I'm Neil Coulong, editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. He is Lance Williams, the head honcho, I think we're going to go with, Lance, of Steel Curtain Radio. We are recording this right before, a couple days at least, the Steelers will take on the Minnesota Vikings of the NFC North at Wembley Stadium in London. Lance, the Minnesota Vikings are also 0-3. It's also a fan base, and I can speak directly to this, that's about ready to jump off the bridge. The difference here is Vikings fans are probably a little bit more used to doing this than Steelers fans are. It's not exactly a rare season when the Vikings start off particularly well. The main problem that they've had, certainly if you talk to the fans, has been the instability of the quarterback position. I don't know how much you've been able to take a look at Christian Ponder, and we'll talk about his injury here in a second. But as far as Ponder goes, you've got a guy that, next to Roethlisberger and Eli Manning, is vying for the Turnover Machine Award this year. He's got 5 interceptions and 2 lost fumbles in 3 games. Now, the issue with Ponder is he's got some mobility. He's used that in the red zone more than anywhere else on the field, and it becomes something of a weapon. But the thing with Ponder, he makes enough above average throws to make you think, okay, this isn't so bad. You know, he can throw that. He can get that loft pass down the sideline to Jennings. He does pretty all right with that. It's not terrible. Now we need to run the ball. Let's get after on the ground to league MVP Adrian Peterson. The Vikings have not run particularly well, and Ponder, his turnovers aside, it hasn't been terrible. He hasn't been great. The Vikings, it's obvious why they're 0-3. The Steelers, I think it's obvious why they're 0-3. This just isn't a good game any way you flip it, is it?
No, both of these teams are average, or not even average. Both of these are bad teams. And, you know, I define a bad team as teams that figure out ways to lose games. And if you watch both of these teams, that's what they're doing. Whether it's a hold on special teams, or whether it's giving up a big third down conversion, or whether it's a turnover, whether it's poor execution, bad coaching decisions, sort of all of the above. And our guys over in the UK, everybody in London is going to be treated to some bad American football. These are two bad teams. But one thing you get with two bad teams, it can either be a bad game or it can be a great game. It is, you know, you just never know. But both of these teams are bad. Both of these teams are struggling in a variety of different areas, and both teams desperately need a win.
If you look at the Vikings in their last two games in particular, Ponder made mistakes. He had issues, and he also made plays. Ponder aside, though, he wasn't on the field when the defense gave up two consecutive game-winning drives to Jay Cutler of the Bears in week two, followed by whatever his name is, quarterback du jour in Cleveland in week three. That was their home opener. My opinion, and I watched both of those games, my opinion, the Vikings did enough to win both games. The Steelers have not done that yet this year. Looking at this, as odd as it seems, I have a tough time picking the Steelers to win this game. Now, I have, on Behind the Steel Curtain in my weekly picks, I did pick the Steelers to win. But very much like the odds makers, there isn't a lot, or at the least, when I looked at it, there was not a line set on this game. The fact that it's in London really puts a different feeling on it. And we're going to add this in, dipping into the injury reports now. Christian Ponder apparently bruised his ribs at some point in the Cleveland game, despite the fact he played the entire time and he was still running the ball at the end, which isn't exactly easy to do with bruised ribs. Matt Cassel has taken a few more snaps than normal, but he said today Ponder took the bulk of the snaps in their practice. The Vikings are already in London, by the way. The Steelers are, I believe, on their way there as we speak, Thursday night. What type of quarterback situation are we going to get from the Vikings in this game? Whether it's Cassel, a guy that we'll talk about Cassel. Cassel or Ponder, is this just a smokescreen? Are they just throwing up this bit about the injury to get the Steelers to have to prepare for two quarterbacks?
Absolutely. I don't know if it'll make much of a difference. I mean, Ponder is what he is. Cassel is what he is. They're both average guys, not really accurate, inconsistent. And in Ponder's case, he's young as well. You know, I think you're absolutely right in terms of his ability to break the pocket and make plays with his legs. But you can clearly see with Ponder, if you want to beat the Vikings, you have to keep Ponder in the pocket, rush intelligently, and shut down Adrian Peterson. It's interesting when I watch them, they've had a difficult time really getting Greg Jennings going. I don't know if that's due to just Ponder or, you know, what defenses are necessarily doing to take away Jennings. But, I mean, you know, in looking at this game, you know, when you're playing a team that's averaging 14 points a game, and Minnesota has definitely scored enough points to win games, you know, it's hard to favor the Steelers in this game. I mean, Minnesota is giving up 114 yards a game rushing, but the Steelers are only averaging 52 yards a game rushing. So, and one thing that the Steelers have struggled to do, as I just illustrated with running the football, is also protect the quarterback. And in those games that I watched, Minnesota was able to get to the quarterback. And I think there is going to be an interesting matchup to watch. It's going to be Jared Allen against the tackle rotation. I'm not even going to name a guy. I'm just going to call it the tackle rotation, whoever that may be.
Dead body after another in that. I mean, that's a significant problem, I think. I mean, Mike Adams struggled with Julius Peppers, to put it mildly. For the second game in a row, he totally blew the first offensive play. Jared Allen is probably not as physically gifted as Peppers is, but he's more intense. He's a guy that feeds off adrenaline and emotion, and he plays with it. He's locked and loaded for this. You know, he's the type of player that thrives on these kinds of matchups. They're going to have to throw everything, land, air, and sea after him to prevent him. The tackle rotation, I like that, by the way, because it's absolutely pathetic, the fact that they are even doing this heading into week four. They don't have a left tackle. If it is basically anybody that they can find on the field to throw at Jared Allen, then okay. But you're setting yourself up to have to win a 9-6 game, aren't you? I mean, you can't have to commit that much to stopping any one guy.
I absolutely agree. I mean, if you go max protect, if you go 7 or 8 man protection, they don't have receivers that consistently win one-on-one. They don't have a Josh Gordon who had a monster game against the Minnesota Vikings.
You know, I would dispute that, to be honest with you. I don't think Gordon was as dominant as a very shaky Viking secondary, which, by the way, I believe 3/4 of is questionable or worse for this game. Not being able to contain the outside. I mean, he ran the ball a little bit, but his big pass play was a double move on a fourth string cornerback who was in the game for two plays. His first two plays of the season, I think it was. Gordon's an impressive player. I'm not trying to segue too far here, but they beat him on plays. Those were, you know, trickeration, as the saying goes. It's not like he flat out dominated or anything. Plus, he didn't hear squat from the guy in the second half. He didn't do anything. The Browns took over that game on two special teams trick plays and a nice drive at the end of the game. Other than that, first quarter, it was plays. It was plays. That's it.
Well, let's just hope that the Steelers can take advantage of that poor secondary in the same fashion that Cleveland was able to do with Josh Gordon, because they're going to get an opportunity. I mean, they're absolutely going to get an opportunity, because what you're going to see is, you know, you're going to see the Vikings be very aggressive and take a page out of, I think, Chicago's playbook. A-gap pressures with blitzes, and they're really, I think, going to try to test Le'Veon Bell in protection if Le'Veon Bell is indeed the starter and gets plenty of snaps. They're going to attack him intellectually and physically and make him be and prove that he is a adequate protector.
Nothing beats a good pass rush. You get in there, you make a running back have to decide between two guys, you've already won. You know, regardless if he's a rookie or not, you've already won that battle if you're able to do that. The Vikings defensive line is a quality group, and they go a little bit deeper, I think, than people want to give them credit for. There are some good players behind their starters, guys like Christian Ballard. I can't think of the other guy's name. Fred Evans, I think it is. They're quality defensive linemen who can play on a rotation system, so they can keep their guys fresh and keep that edge exposed to one-on-one protection. More than anything, the Vikings, in their, you know, opportunity to win this game, it's going to be one up front. At the same time, though, the Steelers have the chance now to establish themselves as a unit that can function together. More than anything, it's been an issue of individuals missing at certain times. In that game, I saw David DeCastro absolutely murder a couple guys on blocks, and I saw David DeCastro screw up a couple times that, you know, in blocks he probably should have made. I saw Mike Adams just not have any idea what he's supposed to do or block, and I saw him do very well on that edge. You go on down the line. You know, Marcus Gilbert was savaged by plenty of people, myself included, the first time watching that game. I think just because we're so conditioned to doing it, but watching it a second time, you know, he actually played pretty well. He didn't do too bad of a job. So I think the line is getting better. I think they can handle the depth of the Vikings. The question with the Vikings, though, is if they're not going to land on the quarterback, can their secondary take what looks to be an emerging receiving core? Now, I'm going to use that to move into the next point that we're going to talk about here. Emmanuel Sanders versus Antonio Brown. I don't want to create any type of impression that they're battling each other, but Antonio Brown goes off for what's without question his best career day. He lands himself at the top spot of receiver performances in week 3 last week. You know, everyone's happy, you know, Steelers fans are happy to see Antonio Brown get to that spot. He hasn't done it. People haven't really heard of him because he never had performances like that. Now he's done that. What's Emmanuel Sanders thinking right now? You know, if we were to speculate a little bit, Ben Roethlisberger has missed Sanders on a deep pass in every game so far this season. It's got to be kind of wearing on him a little bit, don't you think? I mean, Roethlisberger can't seem to throw outside the numbers. He's hitting the posts. He's hitting the seam. He can't throw outside the numbers anymore. That's my opinion, at least. I saw it against Chicago. I saw it against Cincinnati. And I saw it against Tennessee. He can't hit Sanders, and that's what Sanders is doing to get open. That's his role in the offense. He's become kind of a Mike Wallace in 2012.
Is it possible, in your opinion, do you think because of that we may see more Wheaton and Wheaton or somehow to get Sanders inside so Sanders can work between the numbers with possibly Wheaton on the outside, spelling Cotri a little bit.
I saw Wheaton in one target last week. He dropped it, and we didn't see Wheaton again. We're not talking a whole lot about why Wheaton isn't getting on the field. I said this about Wheaton when he was drafted. He's a great physical talent. He plays the game hard. He plays the game with the right kind of emotion, and he's a very smart player. And he does not have very good hands, all right? We can listen all day to Todd Haley giving us sound bites about how he was a tenth of a second off in his 40 time, and that's why he dropped out of the first round. He dropped out of the first round because he can't catch the ball consistently, and you see that on film when you watch him. He's a great third-round pick. You're not going to get a guy that catches 99 out of 100 in the third round with speed like his. You just can't. He's an 85 catch out of 100 guy. Doesn't have great hands. It's not even just a focus thing. It just looks like his hands are too small. I mean, it's hard to catch the ball like that. You know, I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but putting him in the game just because he's fast right now isn't going to do anything, because I guarantee you the Vikings know that he doesn't catch the ball that well. So it's not so much of a concern. They're still going to be more concerned with Brown and Sanders more than they are Wheaton. Can Wheaton get on the field probably from the slot and attack down that middle seam that Roethlisberger can throw? I think he probably could. He needs to catch the ball. Maybe he'll do that. You know, maybe that's a weapon that they can use. Whatever it is, though, just like the first three games, nothing is going to work if they cannot run the football. So, we're going to let you think about that for a second. We're going to take a quick break here on The Standard is the Standard. I'm Neil Coulong. He's Lance Williams. We'll be right back.
Well, all right. Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, yeah.
Standard is the Standard. We are back. I'm Neil Coulong, the managing editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. He is Lance Williams, the head honcho of Steel Curtain Radio. We're talking about the Steelers' upcoming game, week 4 against the Minnesota Vikings at Wembley Stadium in London. Lance, we're going to dip into predictions here. How do you call this game? I have a tough time coming up with a solid feeling of a prediction. And maybe that's good, considering how many of these I get wrong all the time. Factoring in the transcontinental flight, things just get haywire. And the one incontrovertible thing that I've seen in these international series games, they're never well played. So to me, it's almost like, who's the better bad football player? You know, which team is better at ugly football? And I don't know the answer to that either. I'll let you lead this off. Who's winning this game? Give me your prediction.
I'm going to pick the Steelers to win. I'm going to get it right one of these weeks. I don't like Christian Ponder as a football player. I think he's very inconsistent. I think he's very average. I think Dick LeBeau does a very good job against those type of guys, typically, except for week one, Jake Locker. They still lose, but he did a solid job. I think the defense played well against Locker. I think they'll do a good job against Ponder. I think they'll take away Adrian Peterson to a certain extent. I think the Steelers have to be very careful in not giving up a big special teams play to Cordarrelle Patterson, big, strong, physical, number one wide receiver, physical specimen type guy. So I think the Steelers go to London, get a victory. I like the strides and the progression of the offense as you're seeing them start to move the ball a little bit better. I think the addition of Le'Veon Bell will give them some spark. And I like the Steelers to win this game 27-13.
Give them 27 points. That's a blitzkrieg, no pun intended. Here's what I'm going with. What it comes down to is – I don't think the Steelers are going to stop Adrian Peterson. I think they're going to get exposed for a run defense that is lacking that bulk savvy inside linebacker in Larry Foote. I don't think they were challenged by great running teams the last 2 weeks, yet they still got beat on the ground. I think Peterson goes nuts on this team, but I think the Steelers can win the game if Christian Ponder is starting, simply because he's going to find a way to turn the ball over. He always does. If Castle is starting, and this will be pretty much the first time anybody has ever said, if Matt Castle starts, then his team's going to win. I think Castle will give them a better chance to win the game, because for as poor as his numbers are in his career against the Steelers, two of the games that he played against them were close games. He lost one in overtime, and he won the other one because he protected the football. In the game that he won, in the game that he didn't, he threw an interception in overtime. But he brought him back from, you know, a deficit to tie the game at the end of regulation last year. You know, if Ponder starts, the Steelers are going to win. Castle starts, I think I'm picking the Vikings. That's as non-committal an answer, I know, and it's terrible.
So I'm going to ask, who are you picking? Are you picking...
I don't know. Let's wait for the injury report on Friday. I don't think it's a coincidence Leslie Frazier is holding out on it until then. I honestly think the plan here was to put Ponder on the bench and just not have to tell the American media directly about it. So
you're picking Matt Ponder.
Matt Ponder and the Minnesota Twin Queens to beat the Pitt Steagles, right? Something like that. I hate making picks, and this is why. You know, my gut's telling me the Steelers, I think they just go hog wild, go crazy in this game, rack up a bunch of points. But I can't get past Adrian Peterson, and I can't get past Christian Ponder. They're fire and ice. I'm Neil Coulong, the managing editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. You've been listening to The Standard Is the Standard, our quasi pregame show before Week 4, when the Steelers take on the Minnesota Vikings. We're going to have all of the game preview analysis and everything else that you'll need on Behind the Steel Curtain over the next couple days. So check it out, and thanks for listening.
A little song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.